From Duval, Washington, it's the 407 Cast. Here's your host, RSD Superintendent, Dr. Susan Leach.
Hello, and welcome to the 407 Cast, your window into the dynamic world of education in the Riverview School District, where we discuss our achievements, the challenges we face, and the innovative ways we are accelerating learning, and we're excited you chose to listen in. Welcome, everyone, to this 21st episode. I can't believe 21st, but 21st episode of the 407 Cast. And thank you all who are listening for your continued support of all the great conversations we've been having along the way. Today will be no different as we continue that conversation on a topic that has been front and center. As I'm sure you are all aware, over the last couple weeks, the Riverview School District has needed to make some very challenging decisions around inclement weather events in the area, on whether to remain open, delay, or close school for the day. And these are not decisions that we take very lightly. They're also not decisions made by merely looking out the window at the weather. Rather, involves a very complex process of information gathering to best inform that decision making. All of that is centered on doing what's in the best interest for the safety of not only our students, but our staff and community. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we get into the conversation. This week's guest not only plays a part in that decision making process, but also leads the team who are out there at all hours battling this weather to ensure that our schools and facilities will be safe for when our students and staff return, and then to ensure safe operations throughout the day. And with that, I would like to welcome our guest, Riverview's Maintenance Supervisor, Sean Tozer. Welcome, Sean.
Good day. Thank you for having me.
We are so glad to have you. I was just telling one of our board members that I'm going to embarrass you a little bit, but in my entire career, I have never made a hire that has generated as much positive feedback as yours has, and it continues to come in on a weekly basis. I hear some great report about how wonderful things are going or how impressed people are with your work and the work of your team.
So appreciated. The guys have been great, so it's been amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing team to lead.
They are a great team. Could you talk a little bit about your experience prior to coming to Riverview? And is working at the district what you thought it was going to be, or is there anything that surprised you?
My experience was, you know, I started early in the construction industry, and then I've worked with municipalities for the last 17, 18 years. And so worked with cities and city crews and city councils. I've spanned the whole thing from operations to projects to executive functions. Coming over the district to me was really exciting. One, because it got me back into the communities that I care about. My work feels meaningful, which is super important to me. I didn't always get that at one of the last places I was at, but I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. But again, it's just not quite the same. I can see the direct impact of what we're doing here as a team.
Is there anything that surprised you coming to the district that was different than you thought it was going to be?
When I came into the district, I really wasn't sure what team and the staff would look like. One of the surprising things in a positive way has been that we really do have some really high-performing individuals. We have some folks who want to be here, and they want to do a good job. They were looking for a little bit of extra guidance, extra planning. They've responded to the changes that have been made and responded in a great way. And so I see them continually looking for more things to do and looking for the next thing. So really they're performing beyond the plan now. And that's something that I was hoping would get to, but we got there a lot faster than I assumed.
I want to talk a little bit about the weather, because this is, I'm sure, not your first time dealing with this, but it is your first year dealing with a winter in Riverview School District and some of the decision-making that goes into whether we ultimately decide to cancel school or not. And I wonder if you could walk our listeners through just what that process looks like when you're getting up in the middle of the night to road check.
Yeah, so I've done a lot of snow and winter weather responses on behalf of municipalities for cities. But again, that looks a bit different than at the district, right? So our decision points are different. How the road looks like just as a municipal operator is very different. For us, you getting that early morning out the door. I mean, we had mornings we were out the door by 2:30 and 3 o'clock, and we're looking for how do we think the weather's going to behave? What's happening right now? Are the roads passable? And then also looking at sidewalks. You know, those are things that I wasn't as tuned into before. I didn't need to worry about clearance for buses, you know, overhanging branches, things like that. So really, we're looking at a lot more data points, and same with at the sites themselves. You know, can we clear these lots in time for normal operations? So there's just a lot more data points to look at, a lot more information to gather. It's very interesting. And even during one of the mornings, like the condition changed as we were on the road. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we started off an assessment thinking that everything was all go. Weather was looking good, looked like an on time. And within 30 minutes, it all changed. Weather came from this from the north, came down south, and just started dumping snow. Mm-hmm. And we went from thinking we were going to have a normal operation to there's not going to be school today. And and so it was very interesting just to see how quickly and how dynamic that happened.
And how many people are driving the roads, and where are they driving the roads?
There's at least five. Sometime we have a sixth, one of the maintenance personnel. We will have some of the maintenance guys on their way in also call out what they're seeing. On a predicted weather day, we're already planning for an early start. So the maintenance team's already coming in early. So that gives us a little bit of a jump. Not always as early as the assessment time. So it just sort of depends. It takes a whole team.
One of the many things we take into consideration to add on to your role in it and thinking too about my role in it, which is waiting to get the report. So those usually start coming in around 4 a.m. But around 4 a.m. as well, between 4 and 4:30, I'm also communicating with all of the superintendents around the area. So I'm on a text string with the superintendents from the Issaquah School District, Snoqualmie Valley, Bellevue, Tahoma, and the Mercer Island School District. And one of the things that we're checking is each other's conditions. We want to know the road conditions. I need to know, because we have so many employees that are coming from those surrounding districts. If they can't get here, that also is a very important factor in our decision whether to stay open. Another very important factor that I'm always thinking about is the many student drivers that we have. I often think, if this were my child, would I feel comfortable letting them drive to school? Those are just some of the decisions that we're thinking about, not only just the conditions of our roads right here, but are they safe enough that our student drivers are going to be okay? And can our employees get to work, in addition to looking at all of the bus routes, and can our buses make the routes, or can we do snow routes? Many districts like us do snow routes on the days that we can't get to some of those more dangerous areas. As I am gathering information and talking to our area superintendents, I know you're also going through some pretty specific checks. Could you talk a little bit about what those specific things are?
With route checks, we're looking at trees. We're looking at whether there's any obstructions, specifically with snow. Wind events are a little bit different, but we're looking for obstructions, low-hanging branches, trees down, things like that. My route that I ran in the last couple of weeks was 42 miles. So it's a 42-mile route to go check all the different roads, because we're really trying to get to all the corners. We're trying to find all the edges and see, can people really safely get in from that distance? So then at the facilities themselves, our crew starts to look at the buildings and are the temperatures operating normally? Is the HVAC systems working? But then primarily, obviously, we're checking bus routes, bus loops, parking stalls. Can we clear it? Can we make it safe for students to get there? Is it slippery? Do we need to apply de-icer? So, I mean, there's just a whole series of points that we're looking at just in getting to school safely first. And then if you're at school, is it also safe? So there's a handful of items we're working at there. And then, of course, we all have to look at what is the weather going to do next. So it might be okay right now, but is it going to be okay at 2 o'clock? Or at 1 o'clock, or at some other period during the day? Do we need to take action for that as well?
It's so unpredictable here. I spent most of my life in Pennsylvania, and everybody here is probably sick of hearing this, but I always say my hometown of Erie, Pennsylvania is often in the top three spots for snowfall. I think this year they're number two right now. We had several inches of snow before we talked about closing schools, and it's a very different scenario here. Even last week, there was a day that as the calls were coming in, I looked out my window and thought, it doesn't really look like there's a whole lot going on out there. In this case, downtown Duval was getting hammered, but other places weren't. Sometimes what we struggle with is people look out their window and think we must be crazy for canceling school, but we're covering about 250 square miles of land that we're considering all of those areas.
Yeah, the microclimate is real here. And so we definitely saw that with even in our operations. Part of our operational plan was to divide our equipment, divide our workforce. So we started with half of our equipment pre-staged on the north end of the district and the rest at our operations facility on the south end. We programmed half our people to go to each. So we were responding as quickly as humanly possible, but the difference between snowfall at Cedar Crest and Stillwater was miles different than Carnation Elementary in Tolt. So when we were getting 4 and 5 inches up at Cedar Crest, the guys down south were maybe getting a dusting. And so they barely have enough to plow, but we're running as fast as we can with all of our machines trying to get things safe and clear. But again, those microclimates are very interesting. And for somebody not familiar with it, or if people maybe don't get away from Cedar Crest, that might be all they know. Or conversely, if they're at Carnation, they probably are looking out their window wondering, what's going on?
Yeah, why are we canceling school?
Right.
I know one of the things that we've tried really hard to stay on top of this year is early notification of families. So we're trying to make sure that we get some kind of notice out the night before with our initial thinking, and then an early morning, either, hey, we're going to check roads, or we're just going to move to a 2-hour delay to give us a little time to check roads, just so parents have some time to plan. And I know that timeline can be problematic in terms of making a call.
We are working, the district is working, staff is working with the best information available. So we're looking to lots of different resources, National Weather Service, King County Emergency Management, our city partners. We're gathering as many pieces of information as we can to try to help make good decisions. As a parent in the district, I like getting that information ahead of time. I like the district communicating that we think it's going to be a 2-hour delay. I personally prefer that. It helps me plan appropriately. Like we said, the information is as good as the moment you have it, and it changes. I mean, none of us wear sandals on the weather day, right? Because we understand we live in the Northwest. It might be warm one moment and it's going to pour rain the next. So I think we all kind of have this knowledge or intuition that we don't really trust the forecast. And that puts us in a difficult spot as a district, right? Because the forecast might be one thing and we might experience something far different. But we have to react in the moment with the information we have.
And sometimes we miss the mark. Try not to.
Sure.
Try to make the best decision we can at the time with the information we have, knowing by the time it's time for school to start, the weather may have changed. I know there have been days where we've called it, and by the time I'm driving to school, I think we probably could have made it. I will say this because it's something I have a really strong conviction about. I'm always going to err on the side of caution in terms of our student and staff safety. So when we're teetering on should we or shouldn't we, I'm always erring on the side of caution, and I'm doing that unapologetically. I would not live with myself if something happened to someone because I was forcing everyone to come into school. And so while we put a lot of thought and data into those decisions, we're also erring on the side of caution.
Maybe good for people to know is the maintenance and operations side, we treat every day like it's going to be a school day. And so when we're coming through, and even as we're making calls or we're trying to decide whether to make a call, we're treating it as a school day. And so we had just a couple weeks ago here with no school days, our crew still worked to clear parking lots as fast as possible. They still worked to make it available for school to resume. We don't sit back and just wait for the next day. We're working every day to make sure that the parking lot in the school is ready.
I think that's a really great segue to the next thing I would like to talk to you about, which is your incredible crew. And one of the things that I've heard a lot about this year is the practice that you've started regarding taking the whole team to a site and just knocking it out. I'd like to hear you talk about that. It has been an incredible win with staff and administration.
So again, something that I think is important that I've seen in my career is the importance of simplicity and certainty in some ways. Something that I thought was important when I came over and that we instilled into the crew and they've just embraced really strongly is we have a school a day, more or less. So Monday is Carnation and RLC. Tuesday is Tolt Tuesday, just because it sounds good. Wednesday is Stillwater. Thursday was Cedar Crest. And we chose that primarily because there's so many events that happen on the weekend. So we want to make sure Cedar Crest is up to snuff for big events. And then Friday is Cherry Valley and the district building. So that really helps our team focus. Whereas there can be a lot of uncertainty of, well, what should I do or where should I focus? That's built in now. So the crew knows where to go and then they can find the task that needs to happen. So whether it's a crew item or maintenance work orders, things like that, it really helps just add certainty, predictability. And then it gives those staff members and parents and students an expectation that, yeah, I know the crew's going to show up. So I don't need to wonder if they're going to come 2 weeks from now to mow the lawn or do a work order because I'll see them next week. So it really adds predictability and certainty. And again, I think the guys have really appreciated having that routine and schedule. Been very effective for them.
Whenever I encounter them smiling and happily working and wanting to know what else they can do is just incredible. And it's been palpable with our staff.
I'm definitely very fortunate to have a great crew of folks, you know, both in the custodial team and in the maintenance team. Again, we have great staff across the board. And so it's been very fortunate. Again, something that I've liked to point out is the guys could do a 70% job. 70% is passing. If you're a 70% employee, employee, you're still doing okay. But again, I routinely see these guys going to 90%, 100%. You know, they're going above and beyond on a daily basis. It's because they take pride in what they're doing. And so they see we're able to catch up on things. We're able to catch up and then take on new tasks. Again, this predictability is added. We don't leave things unaddressed for too long. So again, I think that's been very beneficial thing for the crew, and they really appreciate it. So
I was honored a couple months ago to attend city council meeting at the city of Carnation and accept a proclamation on behalf of you and your team that the city awarded because of some help that you provided to the city of Carnation during a windstorm that happened a few months ago. Can you talk about how that came about and what the guys did, and then your collaboration with our cities?
Having partnerships is vitally important for our success. It's important for our standing in our communities as well. So we work with Duval, we work with Carnation, we work with King County to make sure that we have strong relationships. Specifically with the windstorm that occurred in November, again, that affected everybody. So our initial response as maintenance is to go check facilities and sites. So see if things are secure, see if there are damages, see what the power situation is and address those appropriately. We were pretty fortunate not to have any direct impact at district facilities during that event. So we didn't have major down limbs, we didn't have major cleanup to do. And so we found ourselves in a position where it was a no school day. We had responded appropriately, but we could see a need in the community. And so we reached out, we contacted them, and they just kind of found some missions that they needed done. And so the crew happily took on those tasks and did some emergency clearance, you know, taking trees across roadways that were blocking access to neighborhoods. So things that were life safety issues that Carnation needed some assistance on. Their crew had already been taxed. They lost a truck in the overnight hours due to a tree fall. It was kind of our duty to assist when they can. And that's something I take seriously. And I think the guys do as well. Like, lots of them are residents of these communities, and lots of them have kids in our district schools. So again, just being able to reach out and provide that broader benefit to our community helps us as the district, because ultimately they're all our families. All of this affects our district at large. So again, anytime that we can find a way to assist, and it goes the other way as well. We've had Carnation offer assistance to us. We've had Duval offer assistance to us, and they will attack trouble spots that we could use help with. So it's reciprocal. It's important things to do.
I know that it meant a ton to the city of Carnation and the city leaders in Carnation that you and your team were able to just jump in and provide assistance when they just didn't have the bandwidth to attack everything that was happening that day. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. We have the proclamation posted in the office for the guys to see. Yeah. So,
Sean, we've been talking a lot about the operations side of your work, but there's a whole other section to what you do and supervise in the district. And so I wonder if you could just give our listeners the broad scope of everything that falls under your purview.
This is the maintenance and operations team. So like we've talked a lot about the maintenance crew, there's roughly three grounds focused people in there. And then there's three maintenance focused folks in there. So they really split the duties of anything that needs fixing is done by the maintenance, and grounds generally done by grounds, you know, mowing lawns, things like that. But then in total, my team is 23 with the sub, and the rest of those folks are at building sites. And so that work that they do really goes unnoticed a lot, right? Mm-hmm. You know, people notice when something's dirty or something doesn't look good, but what very rarely is noticed is when somebody's doing a good job. And what we see at most of our sites very consistently is just high performing teams, quiet custodians who are doing their job every day. It's not glamorous. They don't even get some of the excitement and accolades of the maintenance department, right? But what they do every day is vitally important to attitudes and the perceptions of our kids, the staff, and whether or not people are happy, whether the community feels that we're providing them a good return on investment. I think all that stuff is really important, and they go unnoticed a lot, but no doubt it's just a huge part of our work and what we need to be successful at. So we're trying to strengthen those bonds with them. We're trying to make sure that they understand that they're not forgotten about. We have custodians that come in from 5:30 a.m. and folks who work till 10:30 p.m. every night. So our maintenance team spans a lot of hours. They cover a lot of territory and they do a lot of tasks.
One final question for you. Something's wrong at a building, something needs repaired or fixed. How do you find out about that?
The first way we usually do that is we get work orders. So often the office lead will submit work orders on behalf of a teacher or on behalf of another staff member. Sometimes staff members submit them directly. We also get phone calls periodically from the public or an email or something like that, something that they've seen or observed that they would like us to address. Those are all great ways to do it. Something that we're seeing more and more is a proactive stance. So we're seeing that having our team's bodies in the buildings a day a week in mass, they find things. They find things before they become work orders. They fix things before they become work orders. And that's really where we want to be, is be on a proactive measure, reduce the work order load, reduce things that people are finding that are problems, because we're handling them in real time far more efficiently. That's what we're starting to see. Again, I think that can grow. It's not going to catch all of it, but that's another benefit of the way that we've organized and how we're choosing to attack maintenance.
I can tell you our staff is definitely feeling that change. Sean, this has been such an interesting and informative conversation. Thank you for joining us today. However, that music in the background means we are out of time. Before we go, I want you to know how much this school district and our community appreciate the incredibly important and hard work your team does each day. And to all of our listeners, thank you again for your continued support of the 407 cast. And we encourage you to tune in next week as we continue our conversations on all things education.